Today our lesson study is about hope and the concept of how we live by that hope. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, we'll begin our study with Paul's words there in regard to this matter. Holy Spirit revealed to him to write to the Romans the following. We're saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? He goes on to give much description in regard to that hope that we do not see, but we really trust that it is there. We trust that it is there because God himself, who cannot lie, according to Hebrews 9, chapter 6, beginning into verse 16, this God of heaven who cannot lie, affirmed to us that we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And so it is the case that we find that hope offering salvation to us. If we look at the word about that hope, an idea of trust is incorporated in that word for hope. Isn't it true for you and me that because we have a God who does not lie and one who tells us the facts of the matter, that we embrace it to the fullest? When he's told us that he'll be with us, and Jesus repeated the idea that he would be with us to the end of the age in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. In the Great Commission, notice that the Lord promised that he would be with us to the end of the world, through the end of the age. And so it is that you and I have the opportunity to serve the Lord with a living hope, a way of hope for our lives. We're referred to in that way in 1 Peter 2, beginning verse 5, in reference to being lively stones built up in God's house, built up with a living hope. The way of our hope is in that trust, in that way, that we live by the way of God. If we find ourselves falling short of what God has said, with the words that we speak, with the thoughts of our minds, with the ways of our heart and lives, with the foolishness of our activities in life, worldly in our ways, and only physical and material in our dispositions, then do we have much hope in the Lord? Do we have much trust that the Lord has said he'll continue to be with us? To the contrary, notice in 1 John chapter 2, beginning verse 15, John said, all that is in the world is summed up in this, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride or vainglory of life. These things are not of the Father, but of the world. These things, he says, will pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that follows the will of God, he will abide forever. In this great passage we're talking about things that sum up all of life. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, vainglory. When we find ourselves glorying in the power that we have, we're talking about that after our class this morning. How foolish it is for man to assume himself a kind of glory, a kind of honor, a kind of power that really belongs to God. And we should praise God for the things that we do have and that we should bow before him. As you read there in Revelation chapter 4 about those majestic individuals, the 24 elders, the great four beasts or creatures that were there, they were bowing before him. And what were they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, for thou wast and art to come. This Jesus our Lord is there described as worthy of that praise and that glory. He was the one who was and who is to come. And the idea that the Father placed within him that great hope and that great trust. The Father did not lie. The Father did not lie at all. And because of that, we embrace him and we follow that way of hope. But if we follow our foolish ways of power and our foolish ways of hope, and we just trust in ourselves and our own might and our own skill and our own ability, we trust in our own savings and our own crops and fields and our own herds and flocks, we trust in the things that are of our earthly life, and we do not look above, are we finding the God of heaven to continue with us and be with us and fairly go with us? When he talks about this thing that we often go to when we follow those ways of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, these things, he said, are not of the Father, but of the world. The idea that they are of the world is the concept that these things do not give us that great hope that we would like to have, that great trust that we would like to have in our lives. You know, when that passage in Romans 8, 24 says we're saved by hope, it is a hope that is anticipatory. It is something that we anticipate will come. We're looking forward to coming. And sometimes we find in the religious movements of our day and time, we find people involved with only a hope of the service, that one service that is involved. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning verse 18, he describes a will worship by mankind. That will worship is often brandished in with the idea of spectatorship. And when we get to a worship service and there are congregations today that are honoring that, and of course there are various religious movements that are honoring the idea of performances being done, and then because of those performances, worship services as we used to know them are being replaced with a certain group that comes to sing for us that day and perform for us that particular day. And it makes us become, in the pews, the spectators of those things that are taking place. We're watching, we're listening, we're approving. And we get into the habit that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 is a very unwise thing with us. When he says that we who compare ourselves with ourselves are not wise. Well, we get into that unwittingly because when we become spectators of an event, we approve that to a certain level. And if this is a better presentation today, we approve it higher. And if it's a little better than that, well, we approve it a little higher. And if it's the best of all times, we approve it even greater. You see the idea of comparing one with another? When all of those things were to be spiritual thoughts, all of those things were to be spiritual teaching, all of that was to be done in the Christian's life. And yet, becoming spectators in those services instead of worshipers, they left without the strength that the Lord promised that he would give. He promised to renew the strength of those who wait upon him in Isaiah 40, verse 31. And as we wait upon the Lord and serve him in this capacity, intertwining our lives with him, gaining strength with him, we find wonderful things as we participate. But as we become just spectators of those events, we become people who make points of comparison. And as a result, this service was better than the last one. This service was worse than the last one. This was the greatest of all the months. This was the greatest of all the year. Is that what the Lord really wanted us to do? Is that what the Lord said in his word he really wanted us to do? Or is it we become foolish when we do it that way? We become people who are foolish in our practices of that. When we compare ourselves with ourselves, we are not wise. While they're involved with those particular events, I find people telling me that they really enjoy those services. They really are part of their lives. They assure me that they like that to the fullest. I have no doubt of what those things are entertaining. I have no doubt what those services are, in fact, a spectator's choice. In other words, they are set up on the basis of giving the best of praise and the best of glory and honor and enjoyment to those who watch the things go on. But what about the worship? The idea of bowing before the Lord as we sing these songs together. Bowing before the Lord as we hear the words of prayer being spoken. Bowing before the Lord as we think about his body and his blood. Bowing before the Lord as we give a proof of our love in the contribution for where it goes and to whom it goes. In our minds, if we reflect upon it as we should, we will have the concept of hope involved with every one of those activities of worship. We'll find ourselves honoring those ways because we want good to come from the words that are sung. We want good to come from the speeches that are given. We want good to come from the Lord's Supper and the appreciation of the Lord. We want good to come from the money that's contributed. We want good to come and the words of prayers to be invoked in our lives and our families' lives. Let's be people who really enjoy hope that's involved in worship, but becoming spectators of events to take place. Just watching the singing go on, watching the prayers being said, just observing, and in our mind's eye, we can't help but do it. You know, this was a better prayer than last week's prayer. This was a better prayer than last month's prayer. This was a better sermon than last week's sermon. And are we doing what we ought to be doing there? Paul says we're not wise when we make comparisons one with another. We're not wise. What's going to happen eventually? Well, eventually what's going to happen is that no one can maintain that performance level endlessly. Even those who perform in it for making a money in their arts and sciences, they can't perform at that highest level always. There's a season wherein they are high, they're up there, they're number one, and they're rated. And then there is a slide. There is a downward trend. Someone else steps into that number one position. Someone else comes along and takes that role of play on the radio more often. And as a result, that individual either has to say, well, I enjoy my 15 minutes of glory, or I want to fight it, and so forth, so on. Or you be like a good honor of George Strait, and you could go on through the years for all the kind of things that have been done there. He's had those hits, 61 of them to be done? It's an amazing thing, even to those who keep studies of that particular cause. But spectatorships are spectatorships for the purpose of elevating to a great position. Or, I don't particularly enjoy that. I don't particularly like that as much. And spectatorship is not what we're to be about as we come together in spirit and in truth, as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Did not Jesus tell the woman at the well there in John 4, the hour will come when neither here at this mountain, Gerizim, or at yonder in Jerusalem will men worship the Lord. But in spirit and in truth, worshiping the Lord. For the Lord seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And they give this reason then. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. If we maintain this hope that saves us, it is going to be not on a spectator basis of I enjoyed that or I didn't like that. But it's going to be on the basis of He is always the honorable, worthy, powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is always my all in all. He is always for me and good things for Him. He is always my hope and my trust. He is the anchor of my soul. And because of that, we gather. Because of that, we sing together. We pray together. We participate in the Lord's Supper together. We give as we've been prospered together. We study His Word together. Because that hope is the hope that we're talking about. The hope for all of us to enjoy and to benefit. I know this is difficult for us as young people. We have to have the guidance and help of our parents and grandparents along life's highway and our Bible school teachers and our preachers along the way to help us realize that this is more than just Daniel and the lion's den. It's more than just Moses and crossing the Red Sea. It's more than just a story in the Bible that I'm learning. I'm learning the idea of how God enveloped those individuals to grow in and to become the people who trusted and hoped in Him and as a result enjoyed the bounty of God's blessings in their lives. He renewed their strength as He promised He would. So as they went out here, they found people cursing and using profanity and vulgarities in life. Instead of entering in and feeling like I've got to be somebody, if I dress like them, if I comb my hair like them, if I grow my beard like them, if I do whatever like them, that I'll be somebody. When in fact, my hope is not built upon them. My hope is not built upon that culture and that ideal. My hope is not built upon those individuals. My hope is built upon the Lord. My hope being built upon the Lord, I want to be the best example. And when you're around there, people, and they're drinking, and they're cursing, and they're profaning, and they're watching the X-rated things, and so forth and so on, and you say that there's a hesitation in my heart, there's a concern that I have, there's a prayer that I offer for those individuals, and there's a better way to live than that. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 4, they'll think it strange of you that you do not run to the same excesses that you used to. You used to go with them and used to run with them and used to drink as much as they would drink, used to cuss as much as they would cuss, used to whatever they would do. No difference between me and them. No difference between our lives and their lives. But here is the hope that we have in the Lord. And instead of yielding to the lust of the eyes and the flesh and the pride of life, I maintain that hope. I'm renewed in strength because I worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I realize His presence goes with me beyond these doors and beyond these walls. And here I am with the Lord from day to day. And here are my friends. I love them. But they're making choices based upon the world's influence upon them. Am I going to enter in and be one of the gang? No, I'm not going to enter in. I'm going to stand off. I'm going to be back away from it. Will they just look at you and say, well, that's his day today, and that's him away from us today, and her away from us today? No, Peter says, they'll think it strange of you that you don't do the same excesses you used to do. Maybe they'll do what Peter also says in 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And answer them with meekness and fear. Maybe because they think it's strange of you, someone will say, why do you not enter in like you used to? Why do you not enter into this like you once did? What caused that change in you? Instead of saying things like that would be so candid in the ways of coyness in the world and everything, and say, well, I've just got my strength about it, and I realize I don't have to take a drink, I don't have to say those words in order to be somebody, and act like it's the decision I made on my own and with my own power. Maybe it would be a better day to say in humility, I'm really not responsible. I followed the Lord's word. I followed His teaching. I followed His hope. And as a result of following His hope, it calls upon me to have a different set of words. It calls on me to have a different thought about somebody who's in need round about me and my service to that person's life. It calls on me to have a different thought in regard to the songs we sing and the prayers that are spoken. It's not just something I've heard or something I've seen, but something I entered into. And because I entered into it in bowing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He renewed my strength. And here I stand today. Love you folks a lot. But this is not, as I understand God's word, the right things to be doing and the right things to be thinking. Maybe there's a soul there that says, you know what? I've been thinking some of the same thoughts. I've been around some of the same influences. I too want to be a Christian. I too want to live His right way. I too want to honor His way. I'll join in with that hope that saves the soul, that's sure and steadfast. Because of that hope that we live in, we will appreciate that life, and they will appreciate our lives and be converted to the Lord of Lords. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to happen? We're living that way in such a way that up to the time that we come for a gospel meeting, we invite those individuals, come and sit with me and come and listen with me. And they'll come and grow with you in the knowledge of the Lord. And as a result of that, want to be a Christian, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing in somebody's life? Maybe the only person in that family that obeys the gospel. Maybe the first person of many in that family to obey the gospel. We don't know, but we do know that without that influence being exerted, that person never would have thought about it, never would have answered the invitation, never would have heard that message of hope for the soul. You know, it's summed up back there in the book of Proverbs, in the Old Testament of the Bible, as I close today. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord. That word trust is another word for hope. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that instead of saying to the group of folks that I stand with that are worldly in their ways, and I want to be a good example around them and lead them to the Lord, I did this on my own. I was strong enough to resist this. I don't have to have that or do that. We give credit to the Lord. It's really not our doing. We wanted to love him, and him guide our ways. And because of that, he would guide our ways. Once again, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In the direction of the paths, we have the word of the Lord right in front of us, and we follow his teaching. When he tells us, don't do foolish things, like become a spectator rather than a worshiper of the Lord, we'll want to embrace that, and we'll want to be the worshipers of the Lord in spirit and in truth. I trust that we do, and in the service today, if never before, we have that understanding that we're bowing before the Lord. And we praise him and honor him for his wonderful leadership and direction. He is our hope of the soul, both sure and steadfast. The song invitation provided this morning and announced, let's sing that song together and encourage our lives as we think about our relationship to the Lord. And if we need to come today and repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ, as you read in Acts 2:38, or if we need to come and repent and pray that the Lord will renew us to his love once again, won't you do that as we stand together and as we sing.